Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. After the Chiefs 27-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans, my name is Pete Sweeney. I'm joined by our AP podcast producer, Steven Serta. And man, was that ugly in Tennessee. I don't know how long we're going to go. I don't know how much there really is to talk about in this game because seemingly everything was bad. I mean, there was nothing good. I mean, I don't think there's a point you come away with. I do have one silver lining, but we got to start with some of this bad stuff. The Chiefs looked completely overmatched. They looked like they were the far worst team. They looked like maybe a team that could fall out of postseason contention. And just one where, you know, you get to a third of the season and you say to yourself, okay, is this a bad team? Or is this a team that's good, that's playing poorly? And I think I was subscribing for a while to the idea that, okay, this is a good team that will figure it out. They're not a team that's going to continue to turn the football over. But then, like, you watch this game, and you have to say to yourself, Steve, well, it's not like it's week two or three. It's week seven. I mean, we're going to get to the halfway point mark in two games here. The Chiefs lead the league with what is now 17 turnovers after that one right before the end of the game. The offensive line looks horrible right now, allowing Bud Dupree to get to Patrick Mahomes. We saw the nasty hit. I mean, that is as real as it gets. If you lose Mahomes because he's hit with a nasty hit like that, and it was terrible, I'm surprised he got through the concussion protocols so quickly. Your season is over anyway. The offense continues to turn the football over. You can see that Patrick Mahomes is uncomfortable in the pocket due to the lack of protection. He is pressing still. You saw that in the interception to Josh Gordon. The opposing teams with their coverage schemes are essentially eliminating what was a really, really exciting offense that would be able to accumulate big gains through the air. This was a different type of game where you couldn't even really run the football because at the half you were down 27-0. So you couldn't even really mix it up like maybe you've seen for the Chiefs. And the defense was horrendous. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I wish I could beat around the bush here, but let me just read it off to you to start the game. Touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, field goal. So you're wondering, okay, well, why is Patrick Mahomes trying to force and press? Look no further than the possessions. And so, the one good thing, I mean, I guess you held Derrick Henry to under 100 yards, if you can write home about that. But it was Ryan Tannehill who sliced and diced the Chiefs. A.J. Brown was fantastic in this game. 8 catches for 133 yards. He's 6 feet. He looked like he was overmatching the cornerbacks. The cornerbacks looked like they couldn't handle anything the Tennessee Titans were doing. And then Derrick Henry just kept the ball rolling. This was a game that we watched on Sunday. You hate to say this, and okay, this can change. I'd like to see some signs of the possibility of it changing, but this was a game on Sunday between a good team, one of the AFC elites, and a bad team. 2 weeks ago, we were saying that might be the other way around. No, the Chiefs are the bad team. They're 3-4 through 7 weeks. They turn the football over. They're bad on defense. The Titans, who are coming off of wins now against the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs, could be the best team in the conference and may at some point here with the Ravens trailing 41-17 against Cincinnati, they might be the best team in the conference seemingly out of nowhere just a couple weeks after losing the New York Jets. So who's figuring out the NFL? I don't know. I know that was random. I just don't know what to make. I don't know how to make sense of this, quite honestly, with you, Steve.
I guess if there's one silver lining in this, it's that the AFC is still wide open, and I don't think we genuinely have any idea who the best team in the AFC is. It's certainly not the Chiefs, though. It's certainly not this football team.
What's been so dumb with us, and I'm to blame, and that's fine. You can lump me in this. I'm criticizing myself in this, too. Like we'd go on to 610 Sports Radio with Jay, and we were just so arrogant, like, oh, who's the second best team in the AFC all throughout the offseason? Who is going? Are the Chiefs even in the top five in the AFC? Like, probably not. Probably not. Like that. That's where we're at this point.
Right now, they don't look like a playoff team. They just simply don't. And I talked about it on the post game show a couple of weeks ago, how we had to start reevaluating how we felt about this team and what this team was capable of. Now they hit rock bottom, I thought, in the first half against the Washington football team.
That
last
was
week.
Dumb too. Hey, oh, came, this is going to be the turning point.
Yeah.
Of the season.
And then like, they came out what? And looked dominant in the second half against a bad football team. And then today they just got totally dominated from start to finish. And it's everything right now. Like, they simply could not do anything today. They couldn't block. They couldn't pass the ball. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't play defense. They couldn't cover anybody. Like, Derrick Henry actually having kind of a quiet game was a fluke. Like, there was nothing. It was just the Titans were doing everything else, and the Chiefs could not accomplish anything today. And it's got to start with the coaching. Like, I'm not saying that Andy Reid needs to be fired. I think that's absurd. I think Andy Reid is a fantastic coach. And I think the idea that he should be fired or whatever is ridiculous. But that's the type of conversations we're going to start hearing here pretty soon. But the Chiefs have a lot of stuff to figure out. And it's not like they got a bye or something coming up where they can figure some things out. That bye week is a long ways away. This team is just totally falling apart right now.
Well, that's kind of what I put in my rapid reaction. You do have the New York Giants this week. And even after that disgusting thing that we just watched against Tennessee, I would think that the Chiefs do end up beating the New York Giants. But then you got three tough games. You have the Green Bay Packers. You have the Las Vegas Raiders, and I get it. Maybe, you know, you're not a fan of the Raiders, or you think, okay, they're not one of the better teams in the AFC. It's still a division game. And you could play the Broncos, and I would say, okay, you got to see how that game goes because it's a division game. These teams know each other well. The Broncos clearly look like the worst team. The Raiders are all right, right? So that's going to be a tough game in the division. And then you're facing the Dallas Cowboys. You're 3-4, right? So you could be going into your week 12 bye under 500. It doesn't seem that crazy at this point. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm wildly surprised that it's gotten to this point. And I will push back on you a little bit. I don't think we're to the point where, even as bad as it is, head coach Andy Reid is going to be getting the fan treatment that is, okay, we need to get rid of Andy. However, I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to begin to get that a little bit here because the defense cannot stop anything. You take these small victories, like in a second half against the Washington football team. It's like, man, they were playing Taylor Heineke, you know? I mean, like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You had a nice half, one of two halves against Taylor Heineke. Now you're facing Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. Like, if they're doing that to you, what is Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and Aaron Jones going to do? What is Dak Prescott with six receivers going to do? Are they going to give up 60 points to the Dallas Cowboys? That seems reasonable at this stage. So I think Steve Spagnuolo will begin to hear a little bit of that. I think that, you know, there's potential that the personnel staff and Brett Veach could come into that a little bit, especially when you know, the whole point of the offseason was to rebuild this offensive line. They already had to make a change at right tackle. Forget that thing about the hamstring. This was a talent thing. Mike Remmers is the guy moving forward because the Chiefs feel like that is their best option. So they were able to replace the right tackle there. And Orlando Brown looks to be struggling, especially against some of the better pass rushers in the league. And the problem there, too, is like every team seemingly has one of those guys. And it's especially in your division where the pass rushing is good. And, you know, you make this trade with the first round pick, and we were laughing at that, too. And it goes back to like sports radio that we do sometimes. We were laughing at that, too. Like, why would the Baltimore Ravens solve the Chiefs' biggest problem? I don't think we're completely there yet, but I do think I'm beginning to wonder if the Baltimore Ravens slid like the Trojan horse into Kansas City. And he's not up to, you know, the caliber of what Patrick Mahomes needs to protect his blind side.
Yeah, he just simply wasn't good today. And we talked about it this week on Show and BK about the Titans edge rushers and the speed that they have coming from the outside. And that's where this Chiefs offensive line has struggled early in the season, is Orlando Brown's just simply not a good pass blocker. Like, he is a good run blocker in Baltimore and had room for improvement in the passing game. And the Chiefs were confident that they could get the best out of him. And it's just simply not working right now. He did not have a good game. They're having problems with the speed from the Tennessee Titans edge rushers all day. And it's a problem. It's just a major problem where even Patrick Mahomes is forcing himself still and pressing to the point that he had to leave this game because we thought he got a concussion. He did get cleared from the concussion protocol, but when he had that run early on in the game where he fumbled the football, it was because he was pressing and he tried to get a couple extra yards instead of just sliding because they could not do anything offensively.
You could see that he's uncomfortable in the pocket. And I think that's one thing that's coming for the Chiefs too, is these guys who are your magic men. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the magician, right? But there's no magic this year. And it's because he's not protected. I think he still is running a little bit wildly because of kind of what happened in the Super Bowl. And I don't know how much he really trusts, especially the left side of the offensive line. Like, the right interior seems okay, but the left, I think, especially at the tackle positions and maybe the other tackle position as well, I just like don't know how comfortable he's quick to bail. And I don't necessarily blame him for that. Tyreek Hill now has what drops in every single week, it feels like. And
I don't know what the deal is with that.
He's one of the better receivers in the league. And this is something that has popped up this year that really wasn't the case. He was always reliable there. Travis Kelce, I think he's now pressing. He lateraled in this game with the Chiefs down 24.
He almost did it a second time, too.
If that ball, and look, God, Travis Kelce is one of the best football players of all time. He's a future Hall of Famer. Where would the Chiefs be without him? I don't know. So let's get all those prefaces out of the way. But the Chiefs are so desperate right now that he's risking it. Let's say that lateral doesn't work and it's just a fumble, and then all of a sudden it's 31-0 off of a lateral fumble. Like, what would we have thought about that? So, like, these guys who you could rely on. Okay, let's say Tennessee is going to go out there and score 27. They took their foot off the gas in the second half as they were winding down the clock, but that could have been more in what would be like a shootout type of game. So let's say they get to 35, 40 points. Patrick Mahomes in the offense used to be able to match the other team. Like, the defense could stink. People want to compare it to 2018. Sure, whatever. It's actually worse than 2018. But let's say for comparison's sake, the difference then was that the Chiefs could score and stay in those games. I think about the Los Angeles Monday Night Football game. The problem is the defense is that bad, if not worse again, and the offense is bad. And you have these times in the game where, you know, the team just feels utterly lost with Andy Reid taking a timeout in the third quarter to kick a field goal that ends up getting missed anyway. We had said, okay, it felt like rock bottom against Washington last week. Now I think you're kind of there in a sense again, because in a way, coming off the Monday night win against Buffalo, which, you know, gave the Titans short rest, they finally looked like an AFC contender again. So this could give you a measuring stick. This would be a tough game to win in Tennessee. And the Chiefs just got dominated, man. They're not even close to being what is be considered an AFC contender. Forget Super Bowl contender. Is this team going to even make it out of what would be Wild Card Weekend? Are they going to make it to Wild Card Weekend? Those are real questions that are starting to come up.
Yeah, they're simply not a playoff team right now. You can't play defense. You can't protect Patrick Mahomes. You're turning the football over at a higher rate than anyone in the NFL. And the offense, I'm not that worried about the offense as a whole moving forward, because this was a bad football game, obviously, but they're going to get that stuff figured out eventually, or, you know, they're still going to put up points and they're still going to be efficient. And Patrick Mahomes is still going to be a special player, but the mistakes are just way too much for any team to overcome. And the Chiefs continue to do this to themselves. In that second half, when Andy Reid decided to kick that field goal, I was like, oh, they've already given up. They've already given up any hope that they're going to win this football game, or that they're going to come back and make it competitive. And not only that, they did it again. They kicked a field goal again. And that time it was coming off of, they put the punt team on the field, then decided to kick a field goal, then had to burn a timeout for no reason. Like, it was just total disorganization. And so in the second half of that football game, they had no interest in making it competitive or winning. Like, it was as if they didn't even want to be there. And that's not a playoff caliber football team. I'm sorry. They just simply aren't right now. And that's why we have to totally reevaluate this team moving forward. Like, because I feel like we've done a lot of, over the first 6 weeks of the season, kind of looking at the stats, diving into the analytics and stuff and saying, well, yeah, but like there's underlying things here that are still like really good about the Chiefs offense. And if the defense can just get things figured out, they'll be okay. No, we need to start reevaluating them based on the competition that they're playing, because they're 0-4 against division leading teams in the AFC this season. So the top of the AFC, the best teams that you're going to see in the postseason, the Chiefs can't hang with those teams at all.
Yeah, and I really do feel like you're one bad loss away from this whole thing falling apart. Like, now you get to Monday night, and God, if Joe Judge and Daniel Jones somehow come into Arrowhead Stadium and win, I mean, what are we even doing, right? Like, what at that point are we even doing? And that's where the team is. I want to read this off to you, okay? This is just tweeted out by an NFL stat Twitter account. 32nd in turnovers, 32nd in points allowed, 32nd in yards allowed, 32nd in yards per play allowed, 31st in pass yards allowed, 31st in receiving yards allowed, 31st in rush yards allowed, 32nd in first downs allowed. If that was a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're saying, oh, they're going to be picking in the top 10 of the NFL draft, because it's the Chiefs and they've won back-to-back AFC title games. We've been giving them the benefit of the doubt, but like, I'm to a point right now where if they somehow lost to the Giants, like, I wouldn't be completely stunned. That is the level of play. And it seems like there's this book out on Mahomes and taking away the deep ball. And then you look at the defense with the lack of pressure and the run stopping and how these talented receivers that are seemingly on every team are just kind of carving them up at will. Like, everyone knew that Brown was the Titans' best receiver, yet he still goes for 8 and 133 and a touchdown. I do want to get to my silver lining here in minute 17 of the podcast, because I wanted to make sure I included something that I like that I saw. And if you're one of those fans that is like, I'm ready for 2022, today's the day, that's fine. I'm not going to kill you for that. But speaking of 2022, it does look like Nick Bolton looked the part as the mic. It seemed like he was making most of the calls today. We'll have to get that confirmed by Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo this week. And Willie Gay looks good next to him. So you'll have these two cheap linebackers. This is like the one single silver lining. And I also kind of thought like Juan Thornhill looked a little bit better. Everything else seemingly in the game was a complete and utter disaster. Offense, defense, turnovers, everything. I didn't really see any other positives than that, Steve. Did you?
No. I mean, Nick Bolton did have, yeah, like he looked good. And he looked good against Derrick Henry a couple of times. So, yeah, you got to feel strong about that performance from Nick Bolton and Willie Gay having the interception. And just, yeah, those are positives.
Here's another silver lining that we're getting here as we're doing this podcast about 3:28 p.m. Patrick Mahomes has cleared the concussion protocol. I know that was reported on the broadcast. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid said it was his decision to take him out. And you can hear Andy Reid talk about this game immediately following our commentary right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. So that's another positive, right? I mean, that's an obvious positive. But as I said before, if you lose Mahomes, you might as well pack it in anyway at that point. Like, if you can't lose him. Especially this year. Like, there have been other years where, you know, he was out for a handful of games in that Super Bowl year. Okay, I mean, you know, you can lose him for two or three games. You can't afford, if they don't have, you know, if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes for any period of time, you would be in serious danger of missing the postseason.
This team is worse than the 2018 team right now. So, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Well, the 2018 team gets killed, but they still finish basically like third or fourth in the league, in a sense. You were in the final four.
Yeah. Well, but, because the offense nobody could stop the offense. So it didn't matter that the defense was terrible. Now the offense is struggling and their defense is the worst defense in football and they can't hang on to the football. So yeah, this team's worse than 2018 right now. So if you lose Patrick Mahomes, It's over. So yeah, that's good news. That's another silver lining here. But I said it for weeks and I feel so stupid now. Like, this defense has too much talent to be as bad as 2018. There's too many playmakers on that side of the ball. They got to turn things around. And I just feel like I'm an idiot because this defense is worse than the 2018 defense. Like, they just simply are. They cannot stop anybody. Opposing offenses, I think I tweeted out during the game, it's the Chiefs defense is now the get right game for any opposing offense this season, because Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill had been struggling this season. He had 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions coming into this game. They could not get anything going in the passing game. AJ Brown and Julio Jones had both been pretty major disappointments coming into this game. And I know Julio was kind of quiet. He's a little bit banged up, but AJ Brown looked every bit the wide receiver one that you expected him to be in this game. And Ryan Tannehill was fantastic because the Chiefs just simply can't stop anybody.
Yeah. A couple things here. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce also too. And I think it's worth saying, I mean, they look like they're injured right now. And when the defense is playing this bad and these guys are banged up and they're not playing well, and you're left with Mecole Hardman, who can't hold on to the football, It seems like, You're just not going to win games because Mahomes is not protected. His best players are injured. They're missing their running back. Darrell Williams wasn't even able to even get in a groove, because before you knew it, the Chiefs had to turn into throw first, which makes that whole zone coverage thing even worse, because you can go from cover 2 to a cover 4 look and just play back, knowing that the Chiefs are never in a million years, if you play back, going to score 27 points. What if we said that about this team? It's just crazy. I don't really know. I know we've talked for 20 minutes, but I don't know what the right words are. And it's hard to see a way for the Chiefs to get out of this and look like the team that they had been for 2 or 3 years. I think that's the saddest part here. There's 2 parts that are sad to me. One is, and you felt like this with the, I know you're not a baseball guy, Steve, but you felt like this with the Royals in 14 and 15. And they would just always come back on you, and they would like never be out of it. And even if you got a lead on the Chiefs, you're like, Patrick Mahomes is going to get the ball with 3 minutes left, with 2 minutes left. There's still plenty of time on the clock. And then they would just win. All of that mystique is gone. And here's the deeper thing that I think is like even the saddest part of it. It really felt like for so long that Patrick Mahomes was the next Tom Brady, in a sense. He was going to be that caliber of player, potentially like the greatest quarterback of all time. I still don't think that's out of the question. They obviously are going to have to dig themselves out of what is a rut here, and he could work himself back into it. But they were gunning for that. They were in their second Super Bowl. They were going for 2 Super Bowls in a row. He played Tom Brady. He ran around. He tried his best. And then all of a sudden, Brady wins that. And now I think it's like, it really is starting to seem that it's more like maybe a Russ Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees situation, where you get one and maybe you never really get back to like that. Maybe something weird happens every year where Mahomes, and you were at a certain point, and it felt really real, right? It felt really real. At a certain point, you were like, I'd be stunned if Patrick Mahomes doesn't win like 5 Super Bowls. And now I'm to the point of like, is he going to win 2? Or there's, and 3 seems insurmountable. I just think the Chiefs were on cloud 9 for so long, and he was the magic eraser for so long. And he's finally entering a rut. And it's the perfect storm of him entering a rut, which happens. You know, we've seen great quarterbacks have struggles, right? But it's happening at the same time as you're playing with the worst defense in NFL history through 7 games. I want to say, okay, like, don't worry, the Chiefs are still in the division. Don't worry, they're going to make the playoffs. But I have a hard time 100% believing that at this juncture.
Yeah, and I don't see how you could think that. If you're telling yourself that, you're just lying to yourself. You know, they were eventually going to hit some hard times, right? Like, you just can't stay that good for that long in the modern day NFL. Like, we've seen Aaron Rodgers have ups and downs, I guess, except if you're Tom Brady. But everybody else usually hit some speed bumps along the way that kind of slow you down. And that's what they're doing right now. Like, I'm not saying this thing needs to be blown up, but you can't rebuild your defense every 2 years. So the defense obviously isn't working. So you're going to have to rebuild it again this offseason. And it's so bad this season that, like, I think that Patrick Mahomes has kind of been this way since the Super Bowl, where he had to do so much last season and had to do so much in that game with no offensive line to protect him that he's been pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. And it's just leading to uncharacteristic mistakes that are hurting the Chiefs in the long run, on top of the fact that the defense is just absolutely atrocious. It all goes back to that game against Tampa Bay, where I think this thing just kind of started to unravel there, and it's just kept going into this season.
Yeah, well, the Bucs had a really good plan with getting the pressure, and the Ravens have kind of, you know, copied that. And the Bills kind of, they drafted two front seven players in the draft, and it's getting pressure without blitzing and playing zone coverage, and again making the Chiefs have a lot of plays in their drive for chances of turnovers, which is happening. I mean, that's what's going on in a very simple term there. And I think you're starting to see some things get a little bit clearer about next year. Like, there's no way Frank Clark is on this team. I think today also too, and this is why you got to stay on the field, especially if you're a player that's aging. Like, today showed me that Nick Bolton is going to be the Mike next year, and the Anthony Hitchens contract is going to come off the books too, because you're entering a 2022 season where you're going to have $35 million. You get to a point too where it's like you just wonder how things like spiral a little bit here, in the sense that, well, if the Chiefs are getting rid of Frank Clark and they're getting rid of Anthony Hitchens in you know, a couple of years here, what ends up happening with Tyrann Mathieu? Because now you've let him maybe hit unrestricted free agency, and who knows what's your record? Are you coming off a 10-7 season? Are you 9-8? We don't even really know at this point. Is he going to be motivated after all that he's gone through to want to come back to the Chiefs at that point? What are you going to do with Orlando Brown? His contract is up. Do you franchise tag one of these guys? Do you just say, okay, we tried it with Orlando Brown, let's get our third round pick back? You're seeing it, if it is falling apart, and it does seem that way, you got a lot of hard questions to ask yourself going into 2022. And it's tough. I mean, do you change defensive coordinators? Do you switch your scheme? Like, what ends up happening here? So, again, I'm asking these questions because I know they're going to come up this week. The truth of the matter is there's still 10 games left, and this is another positive note, and I'll try to remind people of this, and I know we mentioned it, but the Titans lost to the Jets 3 weeks ago. That's how quick things can change, but it's just hard to see signs that there could be any chance of that happening right now, and I think that's what makes all this really tough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I don't feel that way about this team is because, yeah, the Titans lost to the Jets a couple of weeks ago, which is just a horrible, horrendous loss. The Jets got absolutely smoked by the Patriots today. But the Chiefs can't beat good teams.
Right.
So I don't feel confident in any way going into any matchup against any team with a record over 500 that the Chiefs are going to win that football game.
Let's do this, Steve, because I think we've talked enough about this game. We've talked about this game for 28 minutes, and it's enough already. Again, we're going to let you, if you're listening on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, we're going to lay the press conferences down after we speak and after the break. But let's go through the remaining schedule and try to be really real with ourselves about this particular team and could they win. So we're at 3-4 now. It's the New York Giants. I'm still giving the Chiefs that one. Are you?
Yeah, I have to. I have to believe they'll win that football game.
So that's 4-4. Now it's the Green Bay Packers. We have to be real with ourselves and say the Chiefs are going to lose to the Packers at this point. So that's a loss. So that is 4-5. Las Vegas Raiders.
That's a loss right now.
Going there on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
It let's give them losses for games that really could be losses. And I agree, going on the road against Vegas could be one. So we're at 4-6 now. Dallas Cowboys at home. That's a loss to me too. I'm sorry to say, like it is 4-7. So you get to your bye week and you're 4-7. Denver, I, despite it being a division game, I'm going to give the Chiefs. Yeah. I'm going to give them week 13 and week 18. So that'll eventually get you to what will be 6-7. I'll give them the home Raiders game. So that'll be 7-7. Let's go to the Chargers. Now that's short rest going to the Chargers. I think that's a loss away.
Yeah.
So you're at 7-8. I'll give you the win at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, 8-8. And then the other game that you have there is the Cincinnati Bengals.
who beat the division-leading Ravens today. And Jamar Chase looks like he's the best wide receiver in football. And you can't cover anybody.
That's 8-9, Steve. That's 8-9.
That's a disappointing season, Pete.
And depending on how the Raiders go, that could be 9-8. But even still, because that was one we were kind of going back and forth on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a letdown of a year.
So, okay, let's give them one of these games that we didn't. Are you looking at a 10-7 ceiling right now? I think you are.
Yeah, right? I think that's fair. It just makes you question, like, did they ride this thing out a year too long? Because they put all the resources into trying to do it again. And we know how difficult it is to make Super Bowls. And this is a team that's been to three consecutive AFC championship games. The defense is just expired. It just ran out of time and it's not going to get better this season. And that's going to hurt you the rest of the year. So like, I think 10-7 at this point feels optimistic.
That's what I'm saying. Like we gave them that Raiders game, and then we gave them like an extra game that maybe they could win.
Yeah.
And who knows? Like we also gave them the game against the Steelers, the Steelers were always pesky, so you never even know. Anyway, it's basically as you look at the schedule, especially since Cincinnati is now good, I'd say the Giants is a gimme game, and I'd say I really feel like the Chiefs are a better team than the Denver Broncos. I would say that those two are gimme games. So you're really only talking about three more surefire wins the rest of the year, and they're the worst defense in history, and Patrick Mahomes looks lost. So, but Nick Bolton had a good game, so that's good. That's good. I wish we could be more positive. I'll try to think of some better takeaways for you when we get to Marinated Takeaways on Tuesday with John Dixon. If you're watching us live online, that'll be the end of our Rapid Recap show. If you're listening on the podcast network, stay with us after the break as we go to the Kansas City Chiefs press conferences. Wrapping up, the Chiefs lose 27-3 in Tennessee, dropping to 3-4. Steve Sirt, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thank you for listening to the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Recap show.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
As far as the injuries go, Pat was in the concussion protocol. He cleared it, and then I decided not to put him back in. So, and then Chris Jones strained his groin. Tyron just hurt his ribs a little bit, and then I think we were pretty good after that. For the most part, we came out pretty healthy. Mike did a nice job with his football team. Listen, they made more plays than what we did, particularly the first few series there. And I've seen our guys do it and make the plays. We're just not doing it now, but I trust that those things will get taken care of. Both sides of the ball and special teams, you know, we're close with the interceptions. We're right there on the hip. Again, they made the great catch and catches, and we weren't doing it offensively, and we weren't finishing it defensively. So, there are some good individual things that are taking place with some of the young guys. There's some positives there. I thought the second half for the defense was, again, positive. I mean, how they held the run game down was a plus. But again, we really need to get both sides playing well. And so we're going to go back and look at it again. We've got to eliminate the turnovers and the penalties. And again, these are things that we haven't been common to. So I'm seeing things that I hadn't seen before, and we just got to fix it. And the players, they know that, and I've got a good locker room, and they'll continue on with it, and the coaches will continue to do it. This is all of us in it. Starts with me, completely my responsibility and fault for how we play today, and then the coaches feel the same way about it. So we've all got a piece of it. All right, with that, time's yours.
You just said same things you haven't seen before. Can you elaborate on that part?
Well, it's with the guys. Yeah, so just different guys. The guys that I've seen perform and not do certain things that, you know, we're right there to do the right thing and make something happen, and it's bouncing the other way. So we got to fix it. Yeah.
And then the quarterback, I mean, with Patrick, it seemed like he forced a couple of things. Obviously, he forced a couple of
things. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. So he's trying to make things happen, and we're all part of this. So I've got to dial up better things, and then we'll go from there.
Andy, it's obviously such a complimentary. Do you feel like you get to a point where the offense is trying to do things because of the situation it finds itself in from the defense?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, you know, here we sit with, you know, the average record, and then you've been up and down both sides of the ball, and you know, you try to go above and beyond what you're doing. Sometimes it throws things out of whack. This is both sides of the ball. This isn't just one side I'm talking about. So, you know, that's what, like I said, it's with guys that I've seen do the things. But as, you know, as play callers, we've all got to go back and look at what we're giving our guys to work with. I mean, and that's where we've all got a piece of this.
Andy, what was the biggest issue defensively in the first half?
Yeah, I thought we were close. I mean, we were close, Nate, and it was just a fingertip away from taking care of a big play or a penalty, you know, happening. And, you know, they had a nice screen with a third and long. You know, we were getting them into those good situations, and they were able to work their way out of it. So, you know, we got to take care of that. We've got to fix that. Yeah, so I think having them in there collectively together is a good thing. I think getting Chris back was good. We'll see how banged up he is, but getting him back in the mix, I think, is a positive thing. Working through this game was an important thing for him. But keeping guys out there and working together, you know.
I know this is the first game where the offensive line appeared to struggle. Was there anything different that Tennessee did, or was it just they beat you up front today?
Yeah, well, we came in knowing that they have a good defensive front, and you want to stay out of third and long, and you know, penalties kill you. And you, I mean, you guys saw that. I mean, you saw it early, and we're looking at long yardage situations. So we got to take care of that. You know, that's whether right or wrong. You know, whether we think it's a right or wrong call, that's not how it rolls. I mean, we got to make sure that we're not in those situations and against good defensive fronts.
And you had the game in Pittsburgh, I think, like 5 years ago. But other than that, this is 2 out of 3 weeks you guys non-competitive score. What is your level of concern with just sort of morale, energy,
and
players and coaches?
Yeah, well, listen, I trust the locker room. I trust the players and the coaches. You know, we've got to make sure we hang together and fix the problem. You know, the easy way out is not doing that. So we've got to hang together and get it fixed.
Couple more, everybody.
Related to that, Andy, since we're not in the locker room anymore, can you give us a sense for what the mood's like in there?
Yeah, well, they're down. I mean, they just got beat, you know. So that's not a real good feeling. And, I mean, these are proud guys. And, you know, they want to do well. And it's not working out, so we gotta make sure we get it right.
Coach, I do understand why you normally elect to defer, but from time to time, do you ever think about receiving the kid to so the chief office can set the tone versus it being the other way around?
Yeah, that's not where I'm at now. Yeah.
Last two, Adam.
Andy, you talked about Pat right off the start, that it was your decision not to put him in. Just want to clarify. You expect him to be available?
Yeah, he ended up out. Yeah, he was out of the protocol. Yeah. He cleared the protocol or whatever the term is. There. Yeah.
I mean, I feel fine now. I mean, just it was fourth down, so I was kind of getting held up. And instead of going down, try to throw the ball, and obviously y'all saw the hit. So, I mean, I kind of took my time getting up, but I felt fine. But obviously with the, you have to kind of go through those things, the protocol things. But did everything I needed to do to be here right now.
You always knew at that time that you got full memory of the play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have full memory of the play. It was just kind of when you get hit pretty hard, sometimes you just want to lay there, and plus it was fourth down, and I knew kind of the game was at that end there. So it was a disappointing day and a disappointing way to end it.
You talk about a disappointing day. How was the locker room after the game?
I mean, you're embarrassed. I mean, you just got spanked pretty good. I mean, it's – we were coming in here trying to build off momentum of the week before, and we didn't do that. So, I mean, it's just trying to find a way to get better for next week because you got to continue to get better and better in this league if you want to get to where you want to be at.
Can you kind of pinpoint where things are going wrong at? I know, you know, we come in, week out, talking about the turnover and things like that, but where do you think the mistakes need to be fixed?
I mean, it's kind of been one thing here and there each and every week. It's not like a whole overarching one thing. And I mean, today it was probably me just pressing a little bit too early in the game, and then it kind of got down, and we were in that kind of mode where you're kind of no huddle, which you don't want to be in the NFL. You can execute a little bit, but it's hard to get sustained drives. So I just got to be better early in the games so we don't get behind like we did today.
Patrick, we know the defense. What did the defense do to confuse you today up there?
I mean, they just made plays. They played the same coverages that they played against the Bills. We just didn't execute, or I didn't execute, really. There was open guys. You can see it on the tablet. There's pockets that were clean that I kind of scrambled from. I have to be better in order to lead this offense to score more points.
When you said you were pressing, what prompted that?
I don't know what prompted it. I don't know if it was just me just kind of trying to make things happen. But you, in this league, you kind of have to let things develop. You have to go through the process of making plays, and it takes one play at a time. And all people are talking about, you can't have like a 14-point play. They scored early. I kind of have to go through the process of just getting the ball down the field, not trying to do too much. If you look at the before the end of the half, the scrambling, just go down. Why do I even try to get the extra 2 yards? It's just little things like that that add up and end up getting beat pretty bad.
And is this something you feel like you've been in before?
Yeah, I mean, I want to win. I mean, that's at the end of the day, I want to win. And so I try to do whatever I can to win. But you have to believe in the guys around you. You have to know that you can go the long way. You can take the short pass, and guys will make guys miss. You can hang in the pocket and make the throws. But at the end of the day, I just want to win, and whatever that takes, I'm going to try to do. And I'll look at this film, learn from it, and try to come out better on Monday night this week.
Patrick, 3 weeks now, just kind of non-competitive scores. I know what you guys had expectations before the season. I'm wondering, is there a sense of shock in the locker room? And if so, how do you get through that?
Yeah, I mean, you never go into a game expecting to lose. Lose bad. I mean, definitely you get shocked because you didn't play the way you wanted to. But we have enough leaders on this team. We have to find a way. I mean, I don't know what that's going to take yet. We'll go in. We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. We'll watch the film. But I trust that we'll find it. I mean, that's what's part of leadership. That's what part of great teams are, is being able to battle through adversity. And it's been kind of rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years. But whenever you want to build something substantial, and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this. And I mean, people keep saying it's still early in the year. I mean, we can still go get whatever we want, but it's going to take us getting better every single day. Because if you get better every single day and play each game play by play, I think we have the talent in this locker room that we can make it happen.
Would you say the parts that you guys are going through, is that like a slump? Would you call it?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we just aren't playing good enough. I mean, we have the players. We're running the plays. It's just a little thing here or there that we're not doing well. If it's a pass that I need to throw at this certain point, I'm missing that pass. If it's a shot downfield, we didn't get the block exactly the right way. It's just a little thing here or there. But if you look at the talent overall and the guys playing, people are playing hard and people are doing what they need to do. But we have to come together as a team, offense, defense, and special teams, and play that complete game every single week if we want to be who we want to be.
Last one, Sam.
Yeah, Patrick, just one more about the hit. It sounds like you expect to play next week, but is there anything during the week you expect to do differently as far as just maintenance?
No, I mean, I always try to do a good job of preparing my body to be as ready as possible. There's always little things here or there that you work on during the kind of grind of the NFL season. But we have an extra day, so I'll try to get a jump on the Giants and watch as much as possible. Try to be better next week.
All right, thank you.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.